Good morning. We're so glad that you could be with us this morning and you all online could be with us as well. We're so glad that we could come together and just to worship the Lord and to sing His praises and hear His word. If you are a guest with us, in your bulletin there's a side that says thank you for joining us, if you would fill that out. And then up front here is a box where you can put your offering. And if you would just fold that piece of paper up and stick it in there, we'll take care of it. From there, we appreciate everyone's cooperation with this crazy coronavirus mess. Things keep changing, as you know, from moment to moment. The government keeps making new announcements. So we as leadership keep trying to stay on top of things and make things most comfortable for everyone. We appreciate your coming. At the end of service, Tim is going to dismiss us row by row and ask us to, gather outside so that you can visit and all, and just trying to keep the whole social distancing and all that like we're supposed to. I know it's very inconvenient and none of us like doing any of this, but we appreciate that. And sadly, because of the virus, some things have been canceled. If you see your bulletin, they're in there, but they're also up here. The picnic, unfortunately, has been canceled, as well as VBS, but we got some other things that are going on. I will let you know about the community service service that may be happening in August 2nd. They are still in the talks of that because Eden Days has been canceled. So that was part of that. So they are going to meet and vote on it and then let everybody know, and we will let you all know. But we just appreciate you coming and just to praise God, because it is a beautiful day and it is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice in it and be glad. And amen. So let's pray, and Tim and the crew will get started. Lord, we just give you praise and glory that we can come into your house. Thank you for waking us up this morning and just filling us our rooms with sunshine and the birds singing. And just thank you for life. Thank you that we can come into this place and that we can worship you, that we can join with like-minded people. Lord, as your word goes out today, Lord, let it go into our hearts that we may bring glory to you, that we may share you. Lord, fill this place with your praise, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. So good to see everybody here this morning. I'm going to say a couple words before we start singing about the coronavirus thing, the mask thing. We came here this morning to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we came here to do. We didn't come here to debate about mask or no mask. We came here to serve the Lord and to sing praises to Him and to lift Him up. The debate, we'll know when Jesus comes, and it's not going to matter anyhow. It don't matter now, and it sure won't matter then. We came here to praise the Lord and lift Him up. Satan wants to divide us. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. I won't give you my opinion about a mask. You're not going to get it from me. And I'd like the same back. We came here to praise the Lord, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to lift the Lord up on high, and we're not going to be divided. We're going to be together because we are Christ's army, and we're going to win this thing. Satan's out there, and he's busy, but his days are coming. So let's sing praises to our Lord.
Bye.
and thank you that we can be in your house this morning, that we can sing praises to you, Lord. All the praise, all the honor, and all the glory belongs to you, Lord. You came, Lord, and you came out of heaven to die a cruel death on a cross that we can be here this morning, Lord. It's a wonderful country we live in, Lord. Many have given the ultimate sacrifice that we can be here this morning. We praise you for that. We praise you that we're rooted deep, that this country's rooted deep in Christian values, Lord, and we pray that these values will shine, that the darkness will go away, Lord, that the light of Christ will shine in this country once again. Lord, we ask forgiveness for we have done terrible things. We have looked to other things, Lord, instead of you. We've served idols. We've murdered our babies. We've done despicable things, Lord. And we ask that you heal our nation, that we repent and serve you, Lord, and love our brothers as ourselves. Lord, we ask that you bless this service this morning and that you bless the message and that you plant it in our hearts, Lord, that we can take it out to a world that is lost. We praise you and love you for this church, Lord, and we love you for our Christian brothers and sisters, that we can gather together and gain strength through each other's love. We thank you and we praise you. Bless us this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
our communion comments today, I have chosen Romans 12, and I will be reading 9 and following. And love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Do not be willing to associate with people of low positions, but be willing to associate with people of low positions. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome if evil with good. And then, I will turn to another little scripture in Galatians. This had come to me in devotions that I'd studied, and also a gentleman that had spoken this week in Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. The reason that I read these verses this morning is because as we come around the communion table and we know that Jesus' blood was spilt for us, his body was broken for us, it was only out of all that love that he wanted to transfer from his life into you and I. So as you come around the communion table this morning, remember, when you take of this communion, this is what Jesus did for you and me because he loved us so much. So let us pray at this time. Heavenly Father, I ask a blessing on this service this morning. I ask a blessing on all these people that are here this morning or any of those that may be listening. We ask that you watch over and care for them. Be with those that are on our prayer list, dear Lord, those that are needy. Pray that we can help where help is needed. Guide our hearts, our minds, and we ask a blessing on this service. And thank you. Let us never take for granted what Jesus did for you and me, that he died, and that he hung there, he was tortured, so that we can someday be with him in heaven. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
prayer and praise time this morning. And right now, I don't have any prayer requests, a written prayer request. I'm sure there's a lot of prayer requests out there on everybody's heart this morning. Like I say, no news is good news. So I'm just going to say a prayer that we have no bad news this morning, and praise to the Lord that we have no bad news this morning. Lord, we thank you so much that we can gather in your house today with those of like faith. We know, Lord, that you are in control of everything and every moment of every day, and that you protect us daily and that you love us, Lord. Sometimes we will suffer, Lord, and sometimes calamities will come, Lord, but as you've said, it's for our good, Lord, that we can learn how to endure these times. Lord, we are living in times where we really need an extra dose of endurance, Lord, and we ask that you give us that faith, Lord, the faith and that we can continue on, Lord, and always look to you. No matter what comes down the pike, Lord, we know that you are in control, Lord. You have this thing. There may be a war going on, Lord, but we all know who's going to win it. We are victorious, Lord, because we know you. And we praise you and thank you that we do know you. And our hearts go out to those who don't know you, Lord, that we can somehow live a life that's acceptable enough that they can see you in us, Lord, and want what we have. Let us live in harmony, Lord, and we praise you and thank you for this church that you've provided and for each and every one of us here today and the many that couldn't attend, Lord. We love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray.
You ever heard a lion roar? One of my,
along with the greatest, you know, historical thing besides me being born in 77, Star Wars, of course. But the other thing that I like is Jurassic Park. And if you've ever watched Jurassic Park, one of my favorite scenes, the most recent movie, Jurassic World, is they bring the dinosaurs to civilization. And at the end of the movie, and if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, it's spoiler alert. You should know these movies by now. The dinosaurs get out, and the dinosaurs are roaming all over the world. And one of my favorite scenes is the T-Rex comes busting through a fence. And there's this gap probably where I'm standing to maybe where Connie is sitting. And this T-Rex stands there, and he just lets it out and just roars as loud as he can roar. And it opens up, and where Connie is, there's a lion standing, and the lion roars back. Who's the true king of the beast, the lion or the T-Rex? They can't reach each other, so, which is a good thing. But to hear the lion roar, it does something to you. Today, we're going to see the lion roar. We're going to look in Daniel. We've been walking through the book of Daniel, and we're going to come today to one of the most famous Bible stories there are besides Noah's Ark is Daniel and the lion's den. And we look at Daniel in the lion's den and we see the scariness of hearing that sound in the dark, but we're going to look and we're going to see the gospel. We're going to see the lion roar today. But it's not going to be a four-legged beast, the king of the jungle. It's going to be the King of Kings, the Lord of the Lords. The lion will roar. And we're going to see here how God not only provides for Daniel, but how He has provided for all mankind through Christ. You see, to me, to hear that sound brings back some very fond memories. Because if you've ever been to the zoo and you hear the lion, you know, it's interesting. But where do lions belong? Besides the wild, where are they from? Africa, right? The lion is an African animal. When I did mission work in Ghana, Africa, we went to the zoo. Sad, but we went to the zoo, and it was feeding time, and they had these two cages, and one cage was empty, one had the lions in it. And they threw that meat in the empty cage, and to hear that sound in Africa, I'll never forget it. It's a sound you don't forget. It's a sound of majesty. You can see why Jesus claims lion of the tribe of Judah, because it's a power sound. It's a sound that you have to sort of back up and bow to. Not that I bowed to the lion, but there's a woe to it. And we're going to look at that today. So if you would turn to the book of Daniel chapter 6 as we pray here. Lord, we give You praise. We give You glory for Your word. Thank You that we can look in it and we can find You. Thank You that from the beginning to the end, Lord, that it's about Jesus. It's about redemption. It's about forgiveness. It's about Your glory. Lord, as we walk this famous story today, Lord, let us see You. Let us hear You roar. And let us fall on our knees and confess our sins. Let us fall on our knees and praise You and worship You, because You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Daniel began this book, Lord, You are the God. And we thank You and we praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. As you remember last time, we looked at chapter 4 and 5. And chapter 4 and 5 is, we sort of named it our own. We called it the tale of the coin. Because chapter 4, we looked at it, one side of the coin being Nebuchadnezzar honoring God. Nebuchadnezzar, as we know from chapter 1 up to chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar was all about Nebuchadnezzar. I am great. I have made Babylon great. You want to mess with me? My word is final. And you will die if you cross me. But we get to that chapter 4 and we see Nebuchadnezzar, after he has seen warning after warning, Daniel's told him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have told him, God Himself has told him, I am in control, not you. And this is what's going to happen if you don't give me the praise that I deserve. And as we saw in chapter 4, God gets Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar, in that, repents. He turns his eyes to God and God restores Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 5 is the other side of that coin. We look at Belshazzar, and Belshazzar has seen these things. He's heard these things. He knows the God of the Hebrews. He knows the God of the Hebrews humbled his great-grandfather. And he knows that he needs himself to honor this great God. But Belshazzar refuses to humble himself. Instead, he boasts himself higher. I am Belshazzar. My grandfather is the great Nebuchadnezzar, and this is the great Babylon, and nothing will destroy us. And God writes on the wall that God has set your days. You've been found weighed and been found wanting, and tonight your kingdom will be destroyed. And we know through that the Medes and the Persians come right in. And that night, Belshazzar dies at the hand of King Darius. Where have we seen this before? Daniel is living history, because if you go back to chapter 2, the great statue of Nebuchadnezzar. He had this dream of this golden-headed statue. This statue, as you go down, is silver, and then bronze, and then iron, and then iron and clay. The great head, the great gold, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon has now fallen. We are now down to the arms of silver. The Medes and the Persians have come in. And go back just for a second to chapter 5, verse 30. It says, that very night Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Medes received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So now we move in to chapter 6. And we're going to see a vast difference between Nebuchadnezzar and King Darius. What's verse 1? It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps would give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, if you go back looking at these words, what is a satrap? A satrap is someone who will defend the kingdom. It's a protector of the kingdom. Someone that you can rely on. Darius is relying on these satraps to make sure that everyone stays in line. Darius's kingdom is pretty big. You can go back in history and you can see how big these kingdoms got. You know, Babylon started here. The Medes and the Persians were here. The Greeks went here. Rome almost went to the entire world. So his kingdom is big. He needs protectors. He needs people he can trust. So what does he do? And how does this happen? For one, Daniel, being a slave to Nebuchadnezzar, being a slave because King Nebuchadnezzar took him from his homeland, put him here and made him a slave. And now this new kingdom comes. What do you usually do if you're a new king stepping into an old kingdom? You get rid of everybody. And you put your own people in, because if you don't, one of these old people, they could have loyalty to the king that you destroyed and cause a riot. So we wipe them all out. We clean the slate and we start over. But Daniel gets moved up. He gets put into the next position. He keeps his authority because his reputation goes before him. What kind of reputation do we have? Because if we look at Daniel's reputation, he becomes one of the top three, verse 2. Three high officials, and Daniel's one of the highest. I would say Daniel, it's probably Daniel and then these other two. Because the next sentence, what does Darius please him to do? It pleases Darius to put Daniel above all. So it's King Darius, Daniel. Next, down the line we go. But Daniel has full access to King Darius because his reputation goes before him. Where have we seen this before in Daniel? Daniel's reputation goes before him because back in chapter 1, Daniel and his three friends were brought in. They were slaves. They were brought in. They were given this table and said, "Eat, enjoy." Daniel and his three friends stepped back and said, "We cannot." Because to do that is to dishonor our God. To do that is to say that your gods are great and we want to celebrate with them. We cannot do that. Give us 10 days, O great king, and see what happens. They were given their 10 days to eat, to drink water and eat fruits and vegetables. And what does it say at the end of those 10 days? When they are brought before the great king Nebuchadnezzar. These four are above in intelligence, in good looks, everything that they were marked to be, they were above them all. Again, Daniel is above them all. Why? Because Daniel continues time and time again to honor his God. He's gotten to the age now, and it might be his age. Someone once told me, an elderly person told me, it's good to be older because I can say what I want, and who's going to say anything about it? Don't know if that's true. I haven't reached that point or not. But Daniel has reached that point, I guess, in age that he can say whatever he wants. I've lived my life in a way, but he's lived it for God. So he goes before kings and he looks at kings and he says, "Nebuchadnezzar, stop this. Turn to God." He looks at Belshazzar and says, "You need to repent." He presents God in all that he does. And so God moves him up the list. A new king comes in and he moves him up. Nothing corrupt can be found in the great Daniel, because Daniel serves the one true God. You see, in verse 4, it says that then the high officials and satraps sought to find the ground of complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. See, these men wanted Daniel's spot. They wanted second in command. But no fault could be found in him. You see, in other words, Daniel had a good conscience. If you've joined us on Sunday nights as we've walked through 1 Peter, and I would encourage you to join us tonight as we continue this walk. 1 Peter 3:16 and 17 says, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. See, if you have this good conscience, if you have this reputation that you serve God, when someone brings something against you, yes, you may have to go to court. Yes, you may have to go before the manager. You will be questioned. But what happens? The charge is found. There's nothing we can hold you to. Look at Jesus. What happened to Jesus? They bring Jesus before the high officials. The high officials are scrambling. What do we do with this man? What we're going to do is we're going to find witnesses to speak against him. The witnesses that were speaking against him couldn't even get their story straight. So they take him to the higher authority, to Rome. And Rome looks at him. Pilate looks at Jesus and says, I have no idea why you're here. Why are you standing before me? Because what they're saying does not match anything. Their witnesses don't agree. From what little you told me about yourself doesn't agree. I have no records in my accounts of you causing any kind of trouble anywhere. Nothing's matching. Why are you standing before me? Speak, and I will get rid of your problems right here and now, and you will go free. I have this authority over you. What does Jesus say? Jesus looks at him and says, your power is given by God. And then he says no more. Our conscience, our reputation has to be one of honoring God. Daniel shows us that time and time again. And look at Daniel. Daniel is in a world that is totally against him. And it would be so easy to keep his mouth shut and just jump in and join the fun. Why not? Everyone else is doing it. And if I stand out, I could cause all of this trouble. And trouble does come to Daniel, as we've seen. But God also honors Daniel. You see, Daniel walked with his God. And that walk with his God would be the hinge that we're going to catch Daniel on. Because if we can't catch Daniel breaking any of these laws, any of these things, if we can't catch Daniel cheating on the books, then let's catch him against his God. So what do they decide to do? They, as we know, they go and they find ground. We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. So what do? They make a law of man, and we're going to get to that in a minute. They're going to make a law of man. Daniel's perfect, so he seems. But what happens when the law of man goes against the law of his God? Who is he going to honor? Is he going to be as perfect as we think he is, as King Darius claims him to be? Or is he not? You see, Jesus had the same thing. The Pharisees accused Jesus. He has broken none of man's laws, but how many laws of God can we catch him on? And if you look through the Gospels, we see that time and time again. They very rarely bring anything of the law of man. Maybe once. Who do we pay? Caesar or God? That's about one of the few times that they bring the law of man. And Jesus says, what's on the coin? Caesar. Then pay Caesar what is Caesar and God's what is God's. They bring up divorce. They bring up adultery. They bring up all of these things that go against the law of God time and time and time again against Jesus. And every time Jesus fulfills the law. What's the greatest commandment? 1 through 5 is the greatest commandment, followed by 6 through 10. Those are the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God, likewise love your neighbor. Time and time again, Jesus follows God's law. Daniel is going to be accused. They're going to go against Daniel and his law. So what do? They come up with this plan. And how does Daniel react to this plan? Because Daniel knows what the plan is. We all know it, so I'm not going there yet. We know Daniel breaks the rules, right? He breaks the rules. So what happens? Jump to verse 13. We're going to go back the other way in a minute, but jump to 13. We can't find anything against Daniel. Daniel's broken no law, so let's go after his God. And it says, they come before King Darius and they answer and said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles of Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the instruction that you have signed, but makes petition 3 times a day. Notice what they do. They oust Daniel. Why do we care that he's a Hebrew? What difference does that make? But notice what they do. They try to belittle him first. That Hebrew slave that was brought in here. That Israelite that was brought in here. Look what this Israelite does. First, what does he do? He pays no attention to you. He doesn't care about you or what you say. Is this true? No, it's not. Because what did we just find out about Daniel? How would you get to be second in command if you paid no attention to the king or cared what the king thought? You wouldn't. So we find the first one's wrong. The second one, he says, pays no attention to the king's instructions. To the law that you have set, Daniel pays no attention to that. And to make things worse, do you know how we know that he doesn't care? Do you know how we know that he has no regard for your laws? Because our law was to pray to you and you alone. But here's what Daniel does. He doesn't pray once. No, that would be bad enough because you broke the law. No, he doesn't even pray 2 times. No, he mocks you, O great king. He's mocking you and he's praying 3 times a day, that Hebrew slave that was brought in here. How dare he? You ever been in a situation where Daniel, like Daniel? Who do you think you are? You're one of those goody two-shoe Christians. You want to destroy our fun. Who do you think you are? You don't really care about us. You just want to make life miserable. You just want to tell me how bad I am. Who are you? You ever been there? See, Daniel's been there. How does this accusation go? If this was King Nebuchadnezzar, how would he have handled this situation? You go back to chapter 3, we find out that not only did King Nebuchadnezzar blow his top when he found out that there was a disregard for his law, he questions, and when he again finds out that there's still a disregard, I'm not going to do it. He blows his top even hotter, and his face changes expression like that. And he commands that the furnace be turned up 7 times hotter than what it is supposed to be. You want to go? You want to see how hot that is? And it's not really a big comparison, but if you want to know how hot that is, go between Jonathan's house and mine. There's this little pit that the church has made, the little fire pit. Well, Ed was gracious enough to tear down the vine that's on the pole out in front of our yard, and we had all this brush we didn't know what to do with. So the camp is coming, and they need the fire pit. We've got all this brush here, and it doesn't look very nice for company, so we have to clean up for company. Well, Jonathan and I get out there, and we throw the brush in there, and we're throwing the brush in there, and that stuff lights pretty quick. If you go out there, there's this little black circle outside the fire pit. That little black circle should have been in the fire pit. We were catching the grass on fire. We're out there with the water hose spraying the grass because we're catching the grass on fire. That's how hot this furnace is. The furnace can't contain the heat. It's not supposed to be that hot. That fire pit and our fire, they didn't go together. The kids were liking it because I was catching the grass on fire. But we had the water hose, so it didn't go any further than this black circle. But that's King Nebuchadnezzar. So hold on to King Nebuchadnezzar. Hold on. How would you respond if someone came to you and said these things? Let's go back and look at the trap. What is the trap? Verse 6, here's the trap. Then the king, the high officials, the satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials, is that true? All the high officials? No, because who are the high officials? Daniel and two others. They don't all agree. Of the kingdom, and prefects, and the satraps, and the counselors, and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce it, an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. There's the trap. No one can pray for 30 days except to King Darius, or you go in the lion's den. How many laws have we looked at that have told us what we cannot do and can do? Look at the situation we're in now. The law keeps changing every, like I said at the beginning of service today, it keeps changing every other week. What do we do? How do we respond to this? How do we respond when someone comes to us and makes accusations against us? Do we hold man's law? Do we hold God's law? What did Daniel do? How did Daniel respond to this? Well, let's start off with, he responds as he's always responded. Think about that a minute. As he has always done. You can trace that back to chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, Daniel faces a very similar situation, and here's what he does. He does the same thing he did there as he's going to do here. Here's what Daniel does. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber. Notice he doesn't hide this. He's going to the window. He opens it towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. What does Daniel do? Daniel doesn't go, "Hold on, King, they are duping you. And you know you can trust me. They're duping you. Look at these guys. Here's, let me pull out the books for you and show you what they're really up to. Here's why they want the kingdom." Daniel keeps his mouth shut. He says, "You know what? This is a situation that's beyond me. There's only one that can solve this problem, and it's not me. And it's certainly not King Darius. It's the Lord, and it's only Him." So Daniel closes his mouth. He goes to his home, and he hits his knees. And he does it 3 times a day as he has always done. Probably in the morning, in the noon, and at night. Daniel hits his knees, and he praise, which leads us to the guys spying him out, and they bring this accusation. He has no respect for you. He doesn't care what you have to say, and he mocks you by doing it 3 times a day. And so a law is made that cannot be reversed. There's a law that has been made. There's a law that's been put into motion that cannot be reversed. You know what that law is? Sin equals death. You sin, you must die. Back to Narnia. I talked about Narnia last week. If you've ever watched The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, in that movie, to sin is to die. That's, like I said, Lewis circles around the Bible through these stories. And in this story, one of the boys, Edmund, he's sinned against Aslan. He's broken the law. They rescue him and they bring him back. Aslan, who is Jesus, we don't know that till the end of the book, but Aslan, who is Jesus, comes and makes peace with Edmund. And the White Queen, who represents Satan, she comes and they have this communication. "That one belongs to me." He says, let's have this meeting inside, away from ears. So they go inside the tent and they're there for hours and everybody's sitting around walking and panting. What is going on in there? Finally, they come out. Said he's been released. It's done. It's finished. And she goes and she gets in her chariot and she turns around and she looks at him. She goes, "How do I know that you will keep your word?" Being a lion, he roars and she sits down and shuts up. The word being, if you continue with the movie, Aslan comes and Aslan sacrifices himself for Edmund. To break the law is to death. There's a law that has been put into place. To break God's law is to equal death. It's not reversible. There is no pigeonholes. Just as Darius has made this law, there's no pigeonholes. How does King Darius respond to this, knowing that the law is made, knowing that the law cannot be broken? I'm going to read you here. We're not going to, you go back and look at them and I'll tell you where they are. But I want you to listen. Who does this remind you of? Who does Darius remind you of? Here's what Darius does in verse 14. He does these three things in verse 14. He becomes distressed because his friend, Daniel, someone he cares about, is in trouble. In verse 14, he sets his mind to deliver Daniel. How can I save Daniel? In verse 14, he labors until the sun goes down on how to rescue Daniel. In verse 16, it says that Darius comes and he makes this proclamation, may the God that you serve deliver you. In verse 18, he fasts all night, praying, crying out. He has no entertainment in verse 18. Nothing is brought before Darius to distract him. Verse 18 says he also loses sleep because he's concerned about his friend and a law that cannot be broken. His friend has been put away in a lion's den. And then in verse 20 it says that he cries in anguish. What does this remind you of? Who does this remind you of? A man of power lamenting and worrying about a nobody. A servant. See, King Darius could pick someone else. Who is Daniel? We've just gotten to know Daniel. Who do we care? Why do we care about this Daniel? We can get another one. But he anguishes. He pleads. He tries to figure out. You see, King Darius represents God. Not that God loses sleep or that God doesn't entertain, but God, from the very beginning, before in the beginning, was God. Before that sentence was ever written, in the beginning, God. God had this plan, and he says, you know what? We're going to create this creation. They're going to mock me. They're going to shake their fists at me. They're going to do everything that they can, and they're going to know what the law is. We're not going to be able to reverse the law. They're going to break it, and they're going to die. We can't let that happen. We're not going to let that happen. What we're going to do is you, my beloved son, you are going to go and you're going to pay the price for them. You see, God did what King Darius could not do. God stepped in and God paid the price. Here, just in these few verses, we see the Gospels unfolding. God in His glory makes a plan and He fulfills that plan. But why? Why does God do this? One, He does it for His glory. I'll show who is in control, me. I am the God, worthy to be praised. And they will praise me. And then the second reason is because we are made in His image. How many things that you have made or done or created, you let get a bad reputation or a bad name? Not many, right? We're kind of protective. Especially if you make something, you're kind of protective of it. I know in our house, sometimes we have to rearrange. The other day, the kids were out playing in the sprinklers. And what does a sprinkler kind of remind you of? It's supposed to happen today. Rain, right? Well, what do you do? Unless even me, because you've all seen it on Facebook, it's there. What do you do when it rains, or what do you get? An umbrella, a pink umbrella, my Minnie Mouse umbrella. Got my Minnie Mouse umbrella. Well, the kids go get their umbrellas. We got the Minnie Mouse umbrella, we got the Hello Kitty umbrella, and we got the Paw Patrol umbrella running around the backyard because it's raining. I don't know what the game was, but all of a sudden, here comes Polly in tears. The poor Hello Kitty umbrella is now bent the other direction. There's wire sticking 900 different directions. There's no saving that poor umbrella. None. That was her umbrella. And she's broken about it. You see, God says, you are made in my image. I'm not going to let my image get marred. Because my image is most important. And I'm not going to let my glory and my image be marred. So I'm going to pay the price that no one else can. And he steps in and he sends Jesus. And Jesus dies on the cross so that God will be glorified so that His image will be restored. Because when we're restored, we're made new creations. We're put back to that garden state when we were in perfect relationship with the Father. But it's only through the blood of Jesus, because God now sees His Son's blood. Let's jump to the lion's den. We know Daniel's in there, and here Daniel is going to reflect Jesus. You see, in verse 17, when Daniel is thrown into this lion's den, it says, "And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel." This big rock is rolled over the hole, and a seal is put on it. Where have we seen that before? Matthew 27, 59 and 66. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how the impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And this last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it secure as you can." And they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. You see, Daniel being sealed in a tomb with a rock reflects Jesus in a tomb being sealed with a giant rock and then sealed. Not only that, what happens at verse 19, jump down. Daniel's been in this tomb and he's been wandering around, hearing the sound that you heard at the beginning. Verse 19 says, "And then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the lion's den." Matthew 28, verse 1, "Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn, the break of day, of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the others went to see the tomb." Other versions, other gospels say they went in haste. The sun barely starts to peak. Mary and them are gone to that tomb in haste. What happened to Jesus? Did the Romans get him to make fun of us? Did he rise? Is he still there? I don't know. But they get up at the break of day and they make haste. King Darius gets up at the break of dawn. He didn't really sleep, but when that sun hit, he was gone to that tomb, as it would be, to find Daniel. And then finally, 21 and 22, what do we see here? "Then Daniel said to the king," the king yells down, "Are you alive?" And Daniel responds, he says, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." 1 Peter 2, 22 and 23 says, "He," Jesus, "committed no sin, neither was he deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." There was no guilt. There was nothing found in Jesus that deserved death. There was nothing found in Daniel that deserved being thrown into a lion's den. Daniel stood justly before God. Jesus stood justly before his Father. You see, we read this story and we see God pleading, God worrying about His creation, King Darius worrying about his friend. And we see Jesus in the tomb. We see Jesus locked away. And then what happens to Daniel? He walks out of that tomb. What happens on that third day when that stone, they get there and that stone's not there? What happens? Jesus walks out of that tomb. So you see, this story is a lot bigger than just a man who refuses to obey the law or who prays and gets thrown into a scary pit with lions. This story is a reflection of Jesus, what's about to happen when He comes to this earth. You see, here, when we get to this chapter, the story of Daniel ends. We don't read any more about Daniel. The rest of the chapter is things that happened in between these chapters. Between 1 and 6, these are visions and things that Daniel sees. But here, Daniel's account ends. But it doesn't end without a warning. A warning that we need to take. Because what happens to God's enemies, a.k.a. Daniel's enemies? You see, Daniel's enemies in verse 24, when the king gets Daniel out of that pit, he commands that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke their bones into pieces. You see, God warns us time and time again with this warning. There will be gnashing of teeth and darkness. If you refuse to listen to me, if you refuse to come to me to accept this free gift, it's going to be gnashing of teeth. It's going to be darkness. It's going to be a pain that you will never know, and it won't stop. You see, these men didn't just go against a king. They didn't just try to frame an innocent man. They went against God. And they broke, their bones were broken to pieces. These ferocious beasts destroyed them. That's the warning. If we do not turn back, if we do not confess our sins, if we don't lay it before the Savior's feet and say to you and you alone, this is the trouble that we will have for eternity. But in this warning, there is also a praise. Verse 26 and 27. You see, peace be multiplied to you. I will make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. See, there's a praise there. God provided. He provided for Daniel. Daniel had it in his mind, the same thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had in their mind. God can. He might not. And if He doesn't, I won't. I will honor God above all things. God provided for Daniel. He provides for all those who call upon His name, Romans 10:13. From before time began, He provided and He still provides today. That's something that no one can stress enough. This moment is your moment. He provided then. He provided yesterday. He is providing right now. This is yours. I've done it all. Just believe it and accept it and come to me. Right now. He's providing right now. I want to leave you with these words, and I encourage you as we sing the song of invitation to come. Don't look at what was yesterday, what was 10 minutes ago. Look at what is now, today, this very moment. He's saying, come. He's saying, I know what happened 10 minutes ago. I knew what you were thinking 5 minutes ago. And I'm still saying, come. Come to me. Have that conversation and don't let this moment pass. If He is calling you, come. I leave you with these words. He, the great God, is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be no end. He delivers. He rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Let us pray. Lord, we give You praise, we give You glory that You are the great God, that You are the living Savior, that You call out to us this very moment, that You're calling us, that You are providing, that You have given Jesus, and that's all that we need. And when we come and we accept that free gift of what He has done, that You've made us new creations, that the old has passed away and that we are forgiven, we are redeemed, we are justified in Your blood. And that's all You see is the blood of Jesus. Lord, help us to be real. Help us to be honest, because You know it all. Help us to confess what needs to be confessed. Help us to look to You that we won't be as these men were, gnashing of teeth of hell. Let us live a life that brings glory to you, that we can praise you as Daniel praised you. Help us to live a life that brings honor and glory to you. Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. Very powerful story that points to Jesus. It's amazing how the Old Testament does just point to the coming of our Lord and helps prepare us. We're going to have a time of invitation this morning, is there any of us here that aren't prepared for that day that's coming soon? Does anybody here not know, fully understand this, what Jesus did on that cross and how he died and shed his blood, that God would see his Son in us and save us from having our bones crushed? It's not a pretty thing if you're on the wrong side of Jesus when that day comes. And that day could come and will come in the blink of an eye. We're living in some scary times right now. The legislation in Michigan put a bill on the table allowing employers to chip their employees, to put a microchip in their employees. That's in Michigan. I believe that's part of America. Sometimes it's questionable. But it's coming. You're going to have to be like Daniel, and you're going to have to either stand for God or cave in to the crowd. Now is the time to stand with Jesus. Seems like we're becoming a minority. But when that day comes, just like Jesus rescued Daniel from the mouth of the lions, he too will rescue us. And if you're gonna it says in the book and that you're going to get down on your knees and say that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it don't matter if you're saved or you're not saved. So why not get down on your knees right now and accept that grace, accept the saving grace of Jesus, so you don't have to worry about being on the wrong side, being on the side of Satan. Open your eyes. Satan he's alive and well, and he's working overtime right now in this country. But we, those who know Jesus Christ, will raise victorious. We are all sinners. I'm a big sinner. But I'm saved by the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't wait for that day when the Lord comes and makes me uncorruptible for eternity. Can you imagine being in a place where there's no sin? There's no heartache, there's no tears, there's no pain. We can't fathom what glory will be like. So if you need to know more about that glory, if you need to know about Jesus, please don't wait another second and come forward as we sing the song of invitation.
What?
Lord, again, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of being in your house this morning, Lord. We ask that you help us to reach a world that desperately needs to know about Jesus, that you will give us your words to say, that you will fill us with your Spirit, that you will make us courageous, Lord, that you will help us to go out and proclaim your word. We thank you and we love you again for everybody that's here this morning. We thank you for your protection, Lord. You keep us safe, Lord, and you protect us from all that would harm us, Lord. We love you and we praise you for our families and our children. And we ask a special blessing on our generations to come, Lord, that they too will fear you greatly and lift your name up and keep this country a God-fearing country. We love you and we praise you. We know the time is near, Lord, that your will be done. And help us to understand that will, Lord, and to see that will. We love you again, Lord. We thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please exit from the back to the front when it's time to go.